All right, so let's talk about developing your own unique voice. It's always been important for a writer to break through, or for an artist to break through, is to have their own voice, their own sound. I mean, think about when I throw out the name Adele. She can sing just a few words and you know what she sounds like. Morgan Wallen, he can sing a few words and you know, oh, that's Morgan Wallen. The great singers have always done that. But the great songwriters have always developed a unique writing style as well. You know, for myself, it took my first big song sounding nothing like what was on country radio at that time. In fact, it sounded so pop, it went top 20 pop at the same time it was number one on the country chart. So I've always tried to do my own thing and not follow the trends. Now, that's not to say I don't learn from the trends, and I do pay attention to the trends. You have to. I saw an interview with Ed Sheeran. The interviewer asked him to sing a song from the top five that was not his. He basically could go through the whole top 10 and sing a chorus of every song in the top 10 that was not his song. That's how connected he was and how up he was on the music around him. So I just want to read you a couple of quotes. C.S. Lewis: "No man who bothers about originality will ever be original. Whereas if you simply try to tell the truth without caring two pence how often it has been told before, you will, 9 times out of 10, become original without ever having noticed it." In our quest to be original, what C.S. Lewis is saying is that you can't be original by tuning everything out and just trying to be original and just do what you do. That has never worked. That trying to be original is not going to get you there. But writing honestly and being influenced by the world around you is going to make you more original. There's a great book called Steal Like an Artist, and a great quote in that is, "What a good artist understands is that nothing comes from nowhere. All creative work builds on what came before. Nothing is completely original." I heard someone talking today, and they said that the average person, when they reach the eighth grade, they average 2 questions per day. So the average person just asks 2 questions per day when they're adults. Now think about when you're a little kid, and if any of you have kids, I know when my son was born and as he was growing up, it was constantly, "Why this, Daddy? You know, how come? Why? Why is that?" You know, it was just a constant barrage of questions. They just wore you out because they were so curious. And as we get older, we stop being that curious, and we really have to fight to ask questions. So, first thing I do in my Melody Masterclass is we focus on how to listen to music. And so, this job of being original involves listening to music with an open mind and going, okay, how can I learn from what I'm hearing? What do I like about what I'm hearing? And can I take any of that and put it into my own writing? So you're looking for tools that you can put into your own writing. The way you hear music, the way you see music, and the tools that you decide to incorporate, that's part of what makes you original. Now, today, more than ever, we need to be original because of AI. AI is based on, okay, here's a formula we've come up with that people have done this and other writers have done this and these artists have done this. So a computer takes all that and spits out an approximation of it. The thing that humans do is that we take in all the beauty of music around us, all the music we grew up on, and our job is not just to put out an approximation of that. Our job is to go beyond that, take it to the next point, that we're looking for that beautiful magic that happens that's just beyond everything that's done before. And when we hit that spot, that's when people start noticing and go, wow, this is something fresh and different. So I want you guys to jump in here. I don't want to just talk for the hour, but I just want to show you a little bit of how I incorporate things into my writing. And this is kind of what we do in our masterclass every year, is when we listen to music, we go, that's a cool technique. I want to try it. So I've taken this further. I don't just borrow from music, but I'll get ideas from listening to interviews. For instance, I heard one of the guys in the band REM talk about how they asked him what he was up to lately, and he's like, well, I've really been fascinated with trying to create melodies that you play a chord and you sing a note, and that note stretches into the next chord. Even though I'm changing chords, I'm singing that same note, and it hangs over into the next chord. And so I hear that and I go, hangover notes. How can I write a song using that concept? And so any song I write is going to be uniquely different than what the guitar player in REM writes. So that's what's going to make us sticking. I'm not concerned with trying to sound like REM. I'm just concerned about this, or not concerned, but I'm excited about this hangover note theory. So one way, let me just demonstrate. I started playing around with that. Say we're in the key of G, and we're going down to an E minor, to A minor, to D. So I want to create a melody that starts on the G. Let's pick, it's gonna take forever. I'm gonna sing the two of the G, and I'm gonna keep that note going into the next chord. It's gonna take forever to get over you. Then I resolve it. Over you. Let's do it. Next chord. So, recap. A. Resolve. B. Then. Sorry, I'm just kind of making this up on the fly, so I'm not going to play it perfect yet. But you get the idea. So these hangover notes create tension a lot of times going into the next chord. It's gonna take forever to get over you. I could have just gone, it's gonna take forever to get over you. But by going over you, it creates this tension, this longing, this emotion. Let me see if I could come up with another line. I'm just trying to write something on top of my head here. It's gonna take forever to get over you. There's no one else I ever felt closer to. Could go on. Was for the best. I know we said it was for the best. But it's gonna take forever. It's losing forever with you. So that's one way we could like stretch that concept and turn it into a whole song. So the first two lines, I used that concept of hangover notes. Then I went off of that because these concepts are just launching points. So then I went, I know I said it was for the best.
It's gonna take forever. It's losing forever with you.
All right. So we hear something in music we like and we go, how can I take that concept and put it into my own music? We sit down right away and write. And we don't worry about the part about, oh, I've heard this a million times. That throws a lot of people off when you're, you know, oh, when you're trying to be so original that you go, well, this chord progression's been used before, you know, or this drum beat's been used before on, you know, every country song has this groove on it. You got to get out of the mindset of thinking like that and start thinking in the positive side of, oh, that's a cool concept this guy just mentioned that I never thought about. Hangover notes. How can I put that into a song? You get the idea. It's all about taking a concept and trying different ways to apply that concept. All right. If you guys got any questions, let's see what's going on in the chat. Paul says, the same note hanging with chords gives you so much contrasting color to that note. Yes. Yeah, I mean, it just, because like I said, if I just went to a note in the next chord, that G, it's kind of boring. So, I mean, it's nice, but when you add the tension of the hangover note, and you resolve it. And it creates movement in the melody. That's another point. Maybe we'll talk about that in one lesson, is rather than your melodies just always changing with the chord. Rather than sticking to those chord tones, we create movement with those tension notes.
Get over you.
So we're getting
over you.
Sorry.
Over you.
A to G. Creates that tension. I should write these things before I come on so that I'm just so much a writer. I just like to do things in the moment. Yeah. No one says Billy Joel, Captain Jack. Yeah, that was a great melody. He was great. Keith says those suspensions are also fun for the singer. Yes. And that's what we want. We want singers to hear a song and go, I want to sing that. So by building in those tensions with those color notes, and we could do a whole lesson on color notes sometime. In fact, my advanced masterclass is all about the different scale tones and the different color tones. We even go through and give them each tone of the scale, we give it a color to that corresponds. So I love that. Steve says, you can also accidentally discover chords you would never have found otherwise. Yes. So another reason I got on this concept was a friend of mine was telling me, John Jarvis, years ago told me this. He's a great piano player, legendary session guy. He was saying you could put any two chords together back to back if they have one common tone in both of those chords. So that's another thing to explore, is going to chords you wouldn't normally go to, but if there's a common tone between those two chords in a row, then, you know, it ties it together. And he was literally saying you can make any two chords work back to back if they have a common tone. And he played me like a whole bunch of variations of that. And it was really cool. Mike says rub versus hangover notes. Okay, so a hangover note is when you have a note and you go to the next chord and you hang on that note, that same note. So we're... So we hang on it. A rub is just simply a note that rubs in the chord. Let's see.
And the day bleeds and the night falls.
That Lewis Capaldi song.
Now the day bleeds and the night falls.
Playing the wrong key. I think it's down here. Oh, that's it.
Now the day bleeds and night falls.
I call those half-step rubs. Rubs are half-steps to me. So in the key of C, you have between 3 and 4 is a rub, and then between 7 and 8 is a rub. So those are the two spots that I consider rubs. James says, this is interesting, kind of the opposite of Bruce Springsteen's Secret Garden, where he stays on the same chord arpeggio, but the bass changes and the melody changes. So for instance, if we have in the key of G, but it creates tension. Whenever you have repeated notes or a repeated pattern and you change the chords underneath it, it creates tension. The same way that the hangover note doesn't belong in the next chord. That's not in the next chord. That the next chord would be down here. So you're adding a little suspension. But yeah, that's where the beauty, getting out of that box of having to play and sing, okay, this is the chord, so I've got to sing notes in this chord. No, that's not true at all. In fact, oftentimes I'll have a melody in my head and I'll play around with different chord changes until I find one that I think really brings out that melody in a way that's interesting. Because you can literally sing a melody line and have 100 different chord progressions under it. And that to me is part of that science. I'm looking for, just like when I'm looking at a lyric, I try to write lines that have inner rhymes, that have alliteration. Those things are going to make the song hookier to people. So I try to do that with music too. I try to employ these techniques that I talk about with you guys. This week it's hangover notes, but I try to put these techniques into songs. But I don't go into the writing session so much and want to dictate. I don't want to dictate every step. I just use the hangover to start off.
It's gonna take forever to get over you. There's no one else I ever felt closer to.
Then I get off of it.
I know we said it was for the best, but it's gonna take forever.
So then I'm searching. I start with the launching point, but then I got to go where my ear takes me. I don't want to make the whole process. Well, let's do hangover notes for the first two lines, and then we're going to try putting in a rub in the third, and then we're going to bring in this color tone at the chorus. I just like to use a technique as a launching point and then see where it goes from there, because if you're thinking every step ahead of it, then it's going to sound clever. It's going to be thought out. It's not going to sound in the moment. and it's not going to come from your heart. At some point, what I do is I use my head to get me started, and then I've got to have my ear and my heart take me to the next place, in the next place, if that makes sense. Alexander says, the little tools all add up like ingredients in cooking. Yes. Yeah. If you're trying to cook a dish and all you have is salt, good luck. You know, you've got to have all the ingredients, and then how you put that together makes you an original chef. You can hand the same ingredients to 20 different chefs, and they're each going to give you back something that tastes different. And some people are going to taste amazing with just a few ingredients because they really know the skill of how to cook. So the same thing with songwriting is, if we can pull all these tools together and keep growing, how we put them together in our own unique way and add our own personality into it is going to make, you know, you stand out from the rest. Scott says, there's nothing better than finding new sounds and creating new ideas and melodies. Yes. I mean, it's just fun. So that's the main point of being a songwriter, is you're doing this because you enjoy it. You're not doing it for the end result of, I have this amazing recording that a computer spit out. Or, I mean, it's fun. That part at first is fun, but the real joy is in the writing. Be original, but don't let that put you into your own world. Being original means taking in from the world around you, constantly learning new tools, working with other people, but finding how your voice fits into that. How you can put your voice into the world, into the marketplace, into a genre, whatever your goals are. It always has to be, how do I fit into that? Not trying to be somebody else so that you fit into it. It's, how can I do what I do and figure out how to make that work? And if you stick to that plan, you're going to be golden. If you have any more questions, just shoot me an email, clay@songtown, and we'll see y'all later. Enjoy the rest of your day. Cheers.
Hey, thanks for watching. If you appreciate the content, hit the subscribe button and help us grow. Shout out to Sweetwater Music. It's where Marty and I get all our musical gear. Great people. We'll see you guys around town. Right on.